What a bummer. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Today we have some interesting discussions that start with that statement. What a bummer. We find out about things every day, and the things that we discover sometimes are good, and sometimes we consider them not so good. And we have to process this. We have to discuss it with other people. So I started out with that phrase, what a bummer. It's a casual phrase, commonly used in the United States. It started out more than 100 years ago referring to a vagrant. But that definition has slipped. And in the 20th century, a bummer came to mean something unfortunate or disappointing. It's a very concise and common way to express disappointment or to respond to something that's unpleasant. Now, we have to be a little careful about that term because it is typically not used for tragedies. So if somebody sprains their ankle, that's a bummer. If somebody lost a relative, that's not a bummer, that's a tragedy. I think in terms of describing something as a bummer, if it's mild to moderate in its intensity, if the problem or event was earth-shattering or bone-crushing, then that would be in the realm of a tragedy rather than a bummer. Now, these are not things you want to memorize. I'm telling you the story about this expression. And if you understand the story, you need not study it. You don't need to have a list of rules. Just listen to the story and understand it. Months from now, you may find yourself using this term in conversation, and you may be surprised that it comes out of nowhere. Because you understood this story, you may have learned enough about this expression to actually use it. So if we encounter something that is disappointing or unpleasant, if something happens to us that we don't like, we are in charge of our response. We're the ones who have to figure out how bad it is, or whether it's bad at all. As we look at something, it's very tempting to allow one's emotions to take over and jump to a conclusion. If someone is conclusory, they make a statement that isn't necessarily supported by any evidence or facts. Someone applies for a job and they get passed over. They don't get the job. And their conclusion is, I'll never amount to anything. I'll never get the kind of job I really want. That's a conclusory statement, and it isn't supported by much evidence at all. After all, if someone applies for one job and doesn't get it, that doesn't accurately predict the rest of their life. So we should be cautious about being conclusory. Instead, we have an opportunity to be factual. So if someone applies for a job and doesn't get it, their response could be, I applied for a job, I didn't get it, so perhaps someone was more qualified. Maybe my application didn't showcase my skills very well. Maybe the interview didn't go very well. By analyzing it in that fashion, one has a path forward. Usually the conclusory response slams all the doors. It doesn't give you a clear path forward. When people encounter things that are bummers, that are unfortunate, sometimes they say things to summarize in a fairly lighthearted way. They might say, life is not a bed of roses. It's not all roses. Someone might say, it's not always rainbows and butterflies. The reference to rainbows and butterflies goes back to the 19th century. More recently, people have said, life is not all rainbows and unicorns. In the 21st century, you might hear someone say, life is not all rainbows and Skittles. All of these lighthearted references to an unfortunate event have the same sentiment, pointing out that life is not always good. You take the good with the bad. Another response that you will hear when something unfortunate is encountered is, it is what it is. The person who says it is what it is just accepts what happened. They don't necessarily agree with it. They're not in favor of it, but they accept that that's what happened, and then they move on. It is what it is frequently a pretty mature response. A similar expression in Spanish that I really enjoyed learning was es lo que hay, which for my understanding means it is what it is. Acceptance, you don't have to agree with it. You just accept it. It's the way it is. So we're going through a spectrum of responses to unfortunate events. We started out with a negative conclusory response. I'll never amount to anything. All the doors are closed. There is no path forward. Next, we explored the acceptance path. Life is not all rainbows and butterflies. It is what it is. So that's kind of the acceptance pathway. And the nice thing about that is it leaves the doors open. You can figure out what you want to do next. So that's a fairly adaptive response. Next, we have the very optimistic response. One of the sayings that you will hear is, one door closes and another door opens. That expression was used commonly in the 20th and now in the 21st century. To me, it just means optimism. Things are going to be okay. Now, this is not a new concept. This goes back 2,500 years to the time of Zeno. Zeno lived in the 4th century BC. Zeno was a merchant. He sold a dye used to dye the robes of wealthy people. This purple dye was very expensive, and he was a successful merchant selling this dye. He had a load of this royal purple dye on a ship, and he sustained a shipwreck. All this valuable cargo that he owned was lost in the sea. It was dissolved in the seawater. It was gone. Later, he found himself in Athens, having lost everything. He was aware of a prophecy that he would do well when he started speaking to the dead. While in Athens, Zeno went to a bookseller and tried to find books on philosophy. He found a book that described Socrates. He asked the book merchant where he could find a teacher, a philosophy teacher, like the one in the book. The story goes that just about that time, Crates came along, and the book merchant said, well, you could certainly talk to him. That's Crates, and he is a great philosopher. According to the story, he studied with Crates and became an early Stoic philosopher. Of all these events, including the loss of all of his resources, he said, I made a great fortune from a shipwreck. That's a very optimistic view of a catastrophe. Stoic philosophers looked at this problem of adversity, unfortunate events, and disappointment a lot, and they wrote and talked about it a lot. Zeno and Epictetus were very focused on this topic. So when there is an event, The question is it unfortunate or is it fortunate? And according to these philosophers, we get to choose. Something happened. Some paths forward may be blocked, but the question is, what opportunities arise from this apparent misfortune? We get to decide. A long time ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who was facing misfortune. Something happened in their career which they found very unwelcome. They were very distraught. And so after that, we were speaking of this event, and I was asked for advice how to respond to what appeared to be a catastrophe. I told a story. It's very much in keeping with the idea that one door closes and another door opens. Not unrealistically optimistic, simply optimistic. I told a story of my interaction over a period of many years with a specific university. To the person I was speaking, I disclosed the identity of that university. Here on YouTube, it would be inappropriate to mention specifically the name of that university. Suffice it to say, the university is famous and outstanding. It's an excellent university. I applied to go to that university for my bachelor's degree. I received a letter that assured me that I had not been selected. I was horribly disappointed, but not too many days later, I received an acceptance from one of my other choices. And for me, the other school was probably a better opportunity. It was probably a better mix for me. Over a period of many years, I applied to that university, which had rejected me initially, for subsequent programs in education. Four in total. Each and every time I applied for an educational opportunity in that university, I got a very polite letter that assured me that I had not been selected. But interestingly enough, after receiving a rejection from that university, each time I received an acceptance from another university. And looking back, the acceptances that I received, in my opinion, were superior opportunities for me. Basically, they made my career. I hold no ill will for the university that rejected me. Had they accepted me, I would have had a different path. It might have been superior to the path that I took, or maybe not. Looking back, I'm very satisfied with the opportunities that were afforded me, and I simply have to conclude that being rejected by that other university was among the best things that ever happened to me. When we do encounter something unfortunate, the acuteness of the event, its close proximity to our plans, may be the big problem. Metaphorically, we may be standing too close to the problem. Often, it is better to take a broader view. Basically, step back from the problem and analyze it objectively. And in keeping with what we discussed a moment ago, a great question to ask is not how bad is it going to be, but rather what opportunities will develop from this event? What doors just opened? One of the other tools we have available to us, I will call fresh eyes. Recall that this friend of mine and I were discussing this recent, very unfortunate event. Fresh eyes refers to including someone else in the analysis of this recent, apparently unfortunate event. Another perspective may be very useful to you as you look at the problem. there are a couple of pitfalls associated with fresh eyes. One is it's not appropriate to just put the problem on someone else and demand that they solve it for you. The other pitfall is that the advice offered by a third party may be very bad advice. They may not understand the situation well enough to give you solid advice. So we have to be careful about fresh eyes, but they could stimulate our thinking to look at the event perhaps from a different angle and come up with a very adaptive response. So this discussion of unfortunate events, things you might call a bummer, is not intended to provide you with advice how to conduct your life. No, we don't do that on the Input English channel. This is a combination of discussion and stories for comprehensible input. Our goal here is to provide content for you so that as you understand what I am saying and follow the discussion or follow the story, you will absorb the English language. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.